fucking Skull Ranch.
You saying Stone Cold has a weak beard? Is that what you said?
No, but he has like scruff, doesn't he? Not like a real
scruffy
beard.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Stone Cold said so.
And that's the bottom line. How much should bench.net and BSN, makers of NO Explode. Look for BSN products at bodybuilding.com. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McDee, here's your host, Mark Bell. That's when you talk, Smelly.
Hey!
And here's your host, Mark
Bell.
What
am I supposed to say?
I don't really
know.
It's
a damn good question.
I'll be over here just taking a selfie with a Stone Cold hat. I'll talk to you guys later.
Oh, Broken Skull Ranch, huh? Yeah, I was on his podcast yesterday. And
it dropped today. Or dropped last week.
I was on his podcast today.
You were on his podcast last week.
Yeah.
We're time traveling.
Yeah, I don't know. Damn. I don't know when it was.
Today.
It was yesterday. But anyway, it was awesome being on the show, especially with my bro. We got to talk about prescription thugs and bigger, stronger, faster. And all that shit was great. But, you know, what surprised me was is that he has a major problem and a bone to pick with a very close friend of mine.
Stone Cold does?
Yeah,
or your brother?
I was kind of shocked. Well, he showed us this video of this friend of mine stealing something that's very close to Stone Cold, very close to Stone Cold's heart. He stole the Stone Cold Stunner, but it's a different version of the Stone Cold Stunner where you're coming off the ropes. And the son of a bitch I'm talking about is John Cena.
Oh.
Yeah, gimmick infringement. There's going to be a huge lawsuit. I see them... perhaps fucking getting in a squared circle and getting after it.
So are you Team Cena or are you Team Stone Cold?
After seeing the footage that I saw, I have to side up with Austin because it just looked like he just blatantly,
he stole
Cena.
The stunner.
Yeah, he stole it.
Is this recent? Because I know that he's been on Stone Cold's podcast in the last year, so.
Yeah, well, no, they're not really mad at each other. But, and.
But they are wrestling mad at each other.
They're wrestling mad at each other, yeah. But the worst part about it, what Stone Cold was really heated about, was that the stunner that Cena's doing is not effective.
Oh.
It's only good for like a two count. He's like, you got an extra second out of that son of a bitch. It's like, the stunner I give you, you're out.
So Cena sucks.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Just
Cena
like the,
sucks.
Yeah, just like the crowd says sometimes. Cena sucks.
Cena sucks. Cena sucks.
That's great.
Yeah, I was taken back by that. Usually the top guys, a lot of times they get along a little bit better than you think.
Well, you know why? Because real
respect real.
Yeah. Normally real respect real, but
yep.
It doesn't this time.
Yeah, it works.
Real respect Stone Cold. Dun-dun, dun-dun. How long did he
have
that
check out that
song?
Podcast when you get a chance, when you're done listening to this one.
How long did he have that Disturbed song or whatever when he comes out? Forever, yeah?
He had it for a while, yeah.
But they switch up songs.
Well, remember when he was on the show, when he was on our show, episode... Fill in the blank. And whatever the hell that was.
I'll go.
Episode like five.
Yeah. Seven. I don't know.
We'll long ago.
We started. Episode seven. What is this, Star Wars?
Episode seven comes out in fucking November 2016.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. I can't really wait.
No, I know. It's going to be great.
I can't tell you how, as a, I was, 13 when the original Star Wars came out? 13, 14, something
Shit.
Like that? 14, yeah. And, that was really sort of part of my growing up.
Right.
And then when that the shitty second trilogy came out and everything about it was fucking awful.
Right.
I was so disappointed.
I love it. I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, I like a lot of it too, but
I love them all except for Teenage Anakin. He's kind of a fairy.
Mm.
It's like, well, that whole, I think I posted a meme about him, or it wasn't even a meme, it was a little dialogue where he says to Padme, well, the Force can do anything, and she says, can you make you stop sounding like a whiny little bitch? Apparently not.
He's whiny.
Oh, my God.
They should have casted me in that part.
They should have casted anyone else.
I could have done that little coming out of your neck braid. That isn't, when did that start? That's like a Padawan thing. But,
yeah, it looks like a fucking
but
rat
Luke,
tail.
Yeah, Luke didn't have one. Yeah, it's a rat tail.
Like
Luke
a mullet
Luke
type thing
Luke
off to the side.
Time to have one, though.
Yeah, he was too busy having Yoda on his back.
Yeah.
We were talking about it in the gym the other day. Yoda is the best fucking character.
The scene at the Dagobah is like the greatest, like one of the greatest scenes ever. The whole thing is amazing. And, and how he like.
Their intro?
He talks about like the past and the future and everything. It's fucking crazy.
Yoda's the best
and
character.
And doesn't he say how old he is? He's like 900 and something years old.
Yeah. But that there's a whole big chunk of that missing.
Right.
Because if you remember on the Death Star when Darth Vader tries to put Luke in the carbonite freezing thing, yeah, and he bolts up to the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah, we never saw Luke learn that. That was the that's a part that got cut. More of his training happened. He was much closer to being finished than it appeared.
Right. Yeah, it was that shit's fucking great. I love Star Wars. I'm excited to see the new one. Hopefully it's not too CGI'd out. That fucking kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't know. Even the old one, looking back at it now, looks kind of cheap. It was amazing for its time, and I don't feel that the ones they make now catch up with the times as well, or match up with the technology.
This one's supposed to be more practical, more like the original set than
like Jar Jar Binks. I just want to punch that guy right in the fucking grill.
He's hilarious. I love him.
He's the worst.
I love him.
So
I'll take Jar Jar.
Speaking of Star, we're apparently in a Star Wars van right now. There's this guy who, for Lucasfilm, I guess, rewrote the Star Wars movies, or is rewriting them as if they were Shakespearean dramas.
Sounds like it'll end up on Broadway.
And there's a backstory to Jar Jar Binks, where that's just a character he's playing. The real guy, or real whatever he was, Gun-Gun, is actually intelligent. And all he's faking it to try to, and bumbling through. You know how you can sometimes bumble through things and not attract the kind of attention?
He does that in the movie sometimes. Like, he'll fall around and accidentally like punch a guy or something. You know?
Right. Exactly.
Sounds like all bullshit.
Think of it that way.
Fucking Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar fucking Binks.
The fuck else is that? I was going to say something else.
I don't know. Probably wasn't important.
We talked to Stone Cold about lifting. We talked to him about fucking addiction. We talked to him about all kinds of different shit. But last time he was on the show, what I was going to fucking say before Mike interrupted me with his fucking Star Wars gimmick was that Stone Cold was talking about how he didn't have his own music. Remember, he kept going to the guy saying, like, hey, you know, I want to have, like, he wants something unique, wants something different. Like, he just had some stupid music when he'd come out.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then he said that shit to Jake the Snake Roberts, and that's, he said, you know, it's Austin 316, that whole line. And then he went to the guy and said, hey, you know, can we, and he's like, yeah, I got something for you. It was only until he, like, you know, became somebody that they started making the music for him. And then it was probably several years before, what'd you say, Disturbed, was it?
Yeah, I think it's Disturbed.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. Is there every song I try to, like, name the rapper or name the artist to, I'm always wrong on the podcast.
Oh, I never know.
I'm good in person, but I'm so bad on the spot. Also,
but in all fairness, though, there's a lot of collaborations that go on.
Yeah.
You can't tell. Like, you know, it'll be a Drake song, and then Lil Wayne pops in saying, I ain't got no Instagram.
Yeah, we say it's a Lil Wayne song, and they're like, it's Drake.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I saw something funny. I don't know if it was a meme or what it was.
This better be funny.
It's not that funny, but it's kind of funny. But they just said, like,
Stone Cold Steve Austin, episode 11.
Episode 11.
Oh, my God.
You sons of bitches.
Somebody said something about, like, if somebody goes missing, how the fuck are they supposed to find you if you use all the Instagram filters all the time? How's anybody supposed to recognize you, you know?
I've seen a meme kind of like that, or it was a split picture, and it shows a lady or a girl from, like, her shoulders up, and she's like, all right. And then then next to it shows her whole body picture, and it's just fucking disgusting.
She's
the
opposite of a butterface.
Yeah, she's in a bikini, and she's so fat. And
remember, ladies and gentlemen, that Instagram it's totally fine to be pervert on there. We understand.
It's not a dating site.
We're on your side. If said spouse gives you shit for it, just tell them that we told you it's okay.
But it is not a dating site, you pervs.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
That's like Tinder. Tinder's weird, man. I don't think I can mess with it.
Well, you have a girlfriend.
I know, but even still, like, I can't mess with it.
Oh, yeah, what's her face?
But besides that, it's just too much.
Little old what's her face out there.
What happens when you run into your girlfriend on Tinder?
Oh my God.
Which way do you swipe?
I don't know. I hear stories.
There's a name for that. There's a name for, like, somebody playing somebody else.
Oh, like catfish?
Catfish.
Catfish. Oh, yeah. I'm not catfish up to all the terms.
I saw the TV show, or it's like a documentary and then a TV
and
show.
A TV
I finally
show,
finished the Mormon thing.
Oh, yeah, going
out
clear.
Going
is that
clear.
What The Rock was talking about when we saw that skit on Tyrant Live?
Catfishing,
I catfished your ass. You fell in love with me.
Yeah, right? That's what he was talking about.
Did you see him on that lip sync challenge?
I haven't seen any of those
against Jimmy Fallon.
But there's another thing Jimmy Fallon does, like, impersonations or whatever. He'll choose like a kid song and then like an artist. So good. He does one.
That's awesome.
I haven't even seen the full one, but just the preview of like Christina Aguilera. She does like a Britney Spears impersonation of some dumb song. Uh-huh. It's so on point. People are so talented.
See, that'd be good. The lip sync challenge thing actually came out of Jimmy Fallon's show.
Right.
They made a whole new show out of it.
Well, The Rock's amazing.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah, I only saw a couple clips of or a couple skits from the SNL with Mark and Andy, but
an amazing entertainer.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. The what was the show, Bambi or whatever?
Oh yeah.
That was the best preview ever.
Yeah, that was a Saturday Night Live skit. It was amazing.
I haven't seen
any of the SNL stuff yet.
It's so good. It was about 2 weeks ago. Probably
YouTube, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they do like a whole movie premiere and it's like a movie preview and it's The Rock acting. And it's like a Bambi, but it's real life, and fucking The Rock's Bambi for some reason. He's running around with like a shotgun, and like there's some Vin Diesel type character in there. It's ridiculous.
He does
funny.
A Taylor Swift song on Lip Sync Challenge.
Well, he likes
which,
like music,
which he,
yeah.
Which he kills.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's perfect, and then he does Stayin' Alive, and it's not as good, but he wins with his ass. So.
It's just lip syncing, so they're just up there dancing?
Singing and dancing,
they sing, so it's more like karaoke.
Well, they don't actually sing. They're lip syncing, yeah. Gotcha.
They should do like a celebrity karaoke. That'd be good. Because there's a lot of guys that can like sing. Like, what's his name? Chris Tucker did a bunch of like Michael Jackson impersonations in Rush Hour. Are so good.
My brother wanted to see some celebrity CrossFit going on.
Oh, that'd be nuts. Celebrity anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Celebrity powerlifting. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember.
Just like a challenge against each other, you know?
Forever ago, like when I was a kid, there was a show on it's usually Saturday afternoons. It's called sometimes Sunday afternoons. It's called The Superstars. And they would take top athletes from different sports and then have them compete against each other in things that were not their thing.
Ah.
And like made up sports. Yeah. Kind of like. I don't know, most extreme challenge kind of stuff.
You know, there is something great about watching people do something that they're not, that you already know they're not good at.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost better to watch, like if we just pick two people off the street, like one fat guy and one guy who's like short and maybe a little bit jacked and had them deadlift against each other, it would be like so exciting.
I don't know what version it was, but there was a Joe's versus Pros show.
Yeah.
And they'd take like retired players,
that kind of
baseball,
cool.
basketball, and football, and then they'd put them all through basketball, baseball, and football against random people. But then you'd have like Shaq playing baseball, like having like a home run hit off. It was fucking great.
Shaq. How come? Where is he at?
He's amazing. I don't know.
How come we can't get him? Isn't he with Reebok?
He is.
They just picked up J.J. Watt.
Dude, what a freak.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, that box jump was sick.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Shaq absolutely killed on that Justin Bieber roast.
Yeah, the Justin Bieber roast was hilarious.
Shaq, can you call J.J. Watt and tell him that we want to have him on the podcast? Thank you very much.
Yeah, both of them would be amazing. How funny would Shaq? I think Shaq would be funnier.
Oh,
Shaq
my God.
Just seems so funny.
But J.J. Watt would actually like come in here and lift with us. He'd kick all our asses.
Probably. He's a freak.
He'd outlift us all.
He started with DeFranco,
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Since college. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, DeFranco, he's built up a lot of great athletes.
Yeah, the game. Triple H.
There you go. What?
So this is from 1976, Superstars Final 100-Yard Dash with Lynn Swann.
No, but it would be cool to get like random celebrities and have them like
racing
a
lift-off. Is fucking great. Just a 100-meter sprint is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like a deadlift off between Thor and fucking Bane.
Right.
Like whoever plays those characters. Right. Their names.
Right. Yeah, I know what
Chris
you mean.
Hemsworth and who's that other guy?
And Bane. Bane, if you're listening, we'd like to have you on the show as well.
Well, that
can you call Batman and fly him? We'll fly him in.
That guy's
it's
underway.
The power crash.
That was pretty good.
Not bad, huh?
That was
I've been
good.
Practicing all morning.
I don't know who that was, but that was amazing.
What the hell is his name? Why can't I remember at the moment?
Yeah, what's the other good movie he's in? Locker or whatever. What's that movie?
Hurt Locker?
Hurt Locker. What does that mean? Locker? Yeah, he was in Hurt Locker.
He's in Hurt Closet. I don't know what Hurt Locker means.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's in a movie at Tribeca.
Oh, my God.
But we already knew that because that was a week ago.
Hmm? Yeah, because we've already been there. We're time traveling right now.
Yeah, the Tribeca Film Festival was outstanding.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
I was looking at all the movies that are at Tribeca. There's tons.
Yeah.
I almost stayed awake for Prescription Thugs. That's how good it was.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy versus Chris Hemsworth in a deadlift off at supertranny.tv.
Yeah. Well, Tom Hardy is what, like 5'8", maybe 200 pounds at his heaviest ever?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But Hemsworth is 6'3", 220? I mean, that's not a great build either.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I think it'd be great.
You might have to scale it.
I was going to say Wolverine or Hugh Jackman, but everyone knows he deadlifts.
He does deadlift, yeah.
Everybody like knows what he deadlifts, right?
Yeah, 450 or something for a couple.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think I saw him do 455 for two or three reps.
He's kind of built, man. He's got some long arms.
Some people that don't know about powerlifting, sometimes like people that are just into like lifting and then they develop some strength, you might ask them like what they lift, and they'll say, oh, I do like 315, but I never really go for a one rep max. I just do it for like 10.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's
hard.
Fucking,
yeah,
it's pretty good, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like bodybuilder, like the bodybuilder we have in here now, Austin, whatever the fuck his name is.
I don't know
that's
what his name,
last right?
name
Austin?
Is.
Austin? Yeah. That guy's a mutant.
Freak Austin.
Yeah, freak show.
He's bigger than all the other Austins, at least from a muscle standpoint.
No, he's like the biggest guy that's been in here in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's huge.
We got 3-4 Austins.
Yeah.
He's one of the few guys that ever came to us jacked, already jacked.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, like, if we had started out back in the early days with somebody that was that jacked who could also lift,
right?
We'd be so rich right now.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
Wait. Except you guys ended up with me.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't start out fat. I just progressively got grosser and grosser over a period of time.
Yeah, when I met Mark, he wasn't that fat.
That fat. See? He knows the terminology. He's got it down.
Was that just after Westside?
That fat.
When you guys met?
Remember, there's so fat.
Too fat.
There's too fat.
That
and
fat.
Not that fat.
Not that fat.
Not that fat, I think, is this. Well, let's see. No, I'm too fat is just your own preference.
Yeah.
If somebody says you're so fat, that's their opinion of how fucking fat you are, and it means that you're really fat. Like,
but if,
for example, used in a sentence, that Matt Nickerson guy, he is so fat.
But if you say, I'm not that fat, you're probably lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Only fat guys say that.
Well,
I'm not that fat. Like,
yeah,
you
Dan,
are.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan. I'm not that fat. Like, no, you're that fat.
Dan, who you should check out my channel for videos on Dan's.
Trying to lose some weight.
YouTube.com/supertrainingTV. There you go.
Trying to get fat Dan. Hashtag Bob Evans.
Or you just go right to supertraining.tv, right?
Exactly.
Right to it.
But,
right
yeah, he's over fat and under muscled.
Yes.
Really,
he's
for a guy his size.
He's fat.
We got his body fat test and it came back that he's 98% body fat. We've never seen anything like that before, and that's why Mike decided to help him.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day who had watched the video and had a comment about it, and it's like, I wonder what his body fat actually is, and I bet we could guess.
I'm sure it's 45 or something.
40. Yeah. At least 40, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's the truth we always talk about. Everyone thinking their body fat's ridiculously low and it's ridiculously high.
I've never really heard of like, except for on one occasion, I've never really heard of like really high body. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's right. Because
really high body fat levels. You know,
right,
just because like I've only heard like 20 or 30. You know,
that's because fat people don't go get their body.
Yeah,
fat.
Yeah, yeah. Unless hey, let's go. Let's go to the buffet and then let's hit up the dunk tank.
Golden Corral and fucking Hydro.
Yeah, they
stand.
Have the dunk tank right outside.
That'd be great for America. To get into Golden Corral, you have to go through a fucking DEXA scan.
Yeah.
All right, I'll skip this meal.
I don't get that call.
No, no, that's the way to get in. Is you got to be like 68% or higher. You got to be really disgusting.
I'm sure there's a DEXA scan in.
Sir, hold up. You don't have diabetes. Get the fuck out of here. You're off the team.
UC Davis has to have a DEXA scan, I'd imagine. I'm sure they have a BOD pod. Those bod pods seem weird, though.
They
too,
got some,
I'm too claustrophobic.
Something that can fix my butthole over there.
Yeah. They have like three different departments for that.
Really?
Yeah. Right next to the cattle department.
Where's the analyzer? Where the fuck is that thing?
I've heard about it for 6 months now, and I haven't seen it. You know,
Bar Willie just
speaking of analyzers,
smashing they're away.
Different type, but there is an analyzer out there. I was watching a video about pie detectors,
browsers, or whatever.
What do you say, Bang Bros or browsers?
Yeah.
There it is. DEXA scan, quantify, track.
Where's the guy's schlong on there?
Does he have a hip circle on right there?
Holy crap. What's up with... I don't know. I don't want to talk about it too much, but...
So, where was I going? So, the analyzer. So, when you take a lie detector test, they have an analyzer. I didn't know that.
Are you lying? You're lying, I'm going to shove this up your ass.
You're sitting on something because your asshole will move. if you lie. Like, you get nervous. You know, you've heard people like,
my asshole never stops moving. I'd be in a lot of trouble.
And like, you never stop lying. Yeah, it, like, measures your asshole movement. God damn. You sit on something. I don't know what you sit on. I don't know what it looked like.
Mine makes a lot of noise, a lot of vibrations.
That'd be great.
There.
You lying son of a bitch. Your analyzer test came back.
Oh, my God.
It's a bunch of places in the Bay Area to get a DEXA scan.
Yeah, why does it say, like, specialized...
road trip.
It said, like, specialized bike?
Specialized
bike
company.
I don't want to go!
They're, like, at corporate locations.
Oh, so it's, like,
so it's Google.
Yeah. Dude, I'll go to... How does Google have a DEXA scan? That's amazing.
Well, they, I think it's a truck or something. It's a truck.
It's kind of sad, because you go in, you think you're jacked.
No.
You think you're all that, and a bag of chips.
Well, you get some light abs, and you're probably 15%.
And you're walking in, you're like, ah, I'm going to nail this. I'm going to be, like... probably 8%.
Yeah, the only test will
come out
pass.
Is like 18. 20. Yeah, yeah, 22 or something.
That's so sad. DirecTV.
Yeah,
they just got to figure out that all their fucking workers are fat.
Yeah,
I wonder what's the highest. You know, the people talk about the lowest. Like, legitimately, you can only go down to like a certain, you know,
3% or some bullshit.
Yeah, and it's like fat in your brain and all this shit, whatever the hell.
You got a fat brain.
Fucking fat head. But then I wonder what the highest is that you can go.
Yeah, without just dying?
Yeah, I mean, is there a limit?
I bet you the limit is that they don't fit in any of the tests.
Yeah.
You're so fat that you know, like, there's all those TV shows like My 600-Pound Life, and they don't fit in a DEXA scan. They probably can't measure their body fat.
Yeah. Mm.
They can't literally fit in the mechanism.
Well, it's hard to find an MRI that
Is that what it is? Basically, an MRI.
Yeah, big person can fit in.
Yeah, DEXA is like an MRI for your body fat.
Yeah,
and then bod pod measures
MRI gets like real close up on you, doesn't it?
This one, I think. So MRI,
terrifying.
MRI, you go on like a tube, yeah. You go into like a little cone
MRI,
tube,
yeah.
And then the DEXA, I think, is just something that kind of waves over you, but it's kind of close.
Yeah,
but it's not as claustrophobic. And then
that scares me.
Bod pod is kind of claustrophobic. You're sitting like an egg. And then it measures like your breathing and other shit. Yeah,
up to your neck or over your head or
the
bod pod.
Bod pod. I think you step in the whole egg and they close the door like it's a little fucking.
Oh, you can have
like
your,
it's an escape
have your,
pod
you can have
from
your clothes on and shit too. To do that.
I think
this is
so.
A DEXA right here.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
No,
but yeah, the bod pod's like an escape module from fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, you don't. It's not has nothing to do with water, right?
No, that's the hydrostatic,
right.
And that looks sketchy.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, about. I don't want to do that.
Oh, I've done that one.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't want to do that. Because you have to breathe out and then, like,
it's
feel like you're dying.
That's not that bad. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't think anybody likes it.
I'll do
it.
DEXA.
Yeah.
Or
it's
whatever.
Like, here, hold your head underwater until you think you're going to die.
Yeah,
and then
breathe out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want you to keep breathing out.
Yeah, they bang on the side of the thing when you can finally
get up.
But they keep yelling at you the whole time, and you can hear it just like, breathe out. And you're like,
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks. You suck.
What the fuck were we talking about?
No, absolutely nothing. Star Wars and then the analyzer and then a celebrity liftoff. Maybe we start our own show, the celebrity liftoff.
This is our own show, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. It's a spinoff. We have a spinoff.
No, I meant like a TV
behind
show.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, TV show.
Oh.
Celebrity liftoff.
All right, let's do it.
Maybe we'll have them do sprints. Box jumps. And we'll
find out how many celebrities or such tell the pussies that they won't.
Yeah, or even they'll look kind of... Yeah, they won't. You won't.
The
Ryan Reynolds.
Won't do it.
You won't come here, Ryan Reynolds.
You won't do it. You won't deadlift.
You big puss.
Anyway, you have the script?
No. I heard something about interviewing each other.
I got the worst
allergies.
I was
so confused.
This place sucks. Stone Cold Steve Austin retweeted me.
Oh, my God.
What's up, you son of a bitch?
Interviewing each other goes like this. Ready, Jim? So you said when you were 13 that the original Star Wars came out. Do
yes.
you remember the movie theater you went to?
Yeah, it was. I can't remember the name of it, but it's on Pacific Avenue in Stockton.
Stockton?
Can we get back to me and Stone Cold's love life over
no.
here?
Oh. You grew up in Manteca, though, right?
Yeah, actually, I was...
where were you born? Let's start with that.
I was born in Stockton. Okay. And then when I was 5, we moved to a place called French Camp, which was really just a rural, you know, shithole.
I've heard of that before.
And
shithole, I mean.
Shithole, yeah, exactly. It's more of a shithole now than it was then. Like, all the decent places to live around there have grown up since I was there, and they're like gated communities and stuff. It was
this is all Central California.
Yeah,
Valley.
Yeah. Northern Central, North Valley,
yeah.
You know. It looked like a little town in the south, to be honest with you.
Growing up, did you have any brothers or sisters or anything?
My sister came along when I was about 7 and a half. So
okay.
My parents adopted her when I was 7 and a half.
How did you, you know, where's your background in all this different stuff that you do? Like the filming of Super Training, DAT TV, and the podcast stuff. Is there a background in that, or is it something you just started feeling out for yourself?
You know, I was always interested in photography, but I don't have this, for whatever reason, I don't have this sense of composition for photography that I do for video. I don't know why. So it started out, I took photo in high school or something like that, and then I bought a nice camera in like 1980.
Where does Manteca come involved? I know growing up, I grew up in like Sacramento. Manteca was only known for their water slides.
Yeah, which don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's so sad. I'd never even been. Man. Every like commercial on the radio, every other commercial, and then every other commercial on like
Manteca.
Water slides. It was like the biggest.
You ever been there?
No, I never. I always wanted to. It was supposed to be the biggest water slides in
California. Dad, take me to
California.
Manteca.
Yeah.
Shut up, Mike. You're playing basketball.
Yeah, Manteca is like some cow town. And
right.
They
had
the
exactly.
nicest water slides.
Exactly. Now, we... we moved to Manteca when I was 16, and
to tons of water slides.
I never went to those water slides. I went to other ones, but I never went to those.
Yeah,
I was just in the wrong time period for them, honestly.
You're technical, but are you like mechanical? Can you fix shit and stuff like that?
Yeah. My dad was an agricultural mechanic, and so
like tractors and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So I followed him around a lot.
Right.
When I was a kid, he actually spent a lot of every summer. During the tomato harvest, in Woodland up here, which is a good, you know, an hour
plus. Fuckload of tomatoes, and it smells.
And it smells, exactly.
They start to rot and stuff like that.
When they started making the automated tomato pickers, the ones that could kick out the dirt clods.
Are we talking about Mexicans?
And the green ones. No, well, here's
those probably weren't around at that time.
Okay, here's the thing. When they came up with tomato harvesters, the things would come through and they would pull the vines up. And they would come up on a conveyor belt.
Right.
And then they would be dumped onto another conveyor belt. And they would have a bunch of Mexicans or other laborers standing there and manually picking out all the...
kind of messed up ones.
The rotten ones, the green ones, and the dirt clods and all that stuff. So that it was somewhat cleaned up before they went off to the cannery. And so they came up with an automated system for doing that.
Right.
Which, you know, when I was...
That's what my father-in-law does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He sold it, but he owned it's called AIM, American Industrial Manufacturing, and it was he makes machines that do that sort of thing, sorting, you know, sorts nuts and tomatoes and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. What do you know about sorting nuts?
Sorting nuts. I like shaved ones. Thank you very much.
Well, Black Welder, which I'm sure your father-in-law would know about, came out of Woodland.
Oh, okay.
And my dad actually came up with...
Sounds racist to me, but okay.
Exactly. because he was working on them all the time.
Yeah.
He came up with actually some modifications.
Oh, cool.
In terms of fixing them that they incorporated into the...
right.
Which he got absolutely nothing for, but, you know, a little bit of credit from the people who knew. But,
right. That was his job? He was a mechanic?
He was a mechanic, yeah.
Did he fix cars and stuff as well, or just mainly
he could.
Tractors and stuff?
He could. We rebuilt a couple engines together when I was a kid. And, you know, did brakes and stuff like that. I never got all that proficient at it because, honestly, he's like, I don't want you to do this. Like, even if you could do this, I don't want you to do this because it's kind of a shitty job. My view of it now is a lot different. It's like, if you can be a really great mechanic, you can actually get paid relatively well. If you take care of yourself, you know, meaning like if you take good jobs and
you're careful
and you speak up for yourself,
mess yourself up.
A lot of mechanics I know that make like real money are like car dealers too. You know, they'll find deals, fix them up, and sell them.
Right, yeah. And, you know, he worked very long hours. He was, like, not around all summer, basically.
Right.
You know, he was gone before I got up in the morning, and he would come in, you know, late at night a lot of the time. So I think I have a natural mechanical aptitude, which came into play when I started doing things with computers.
Right.
And
do your boys have any of that?
They both have some of it for sure. My older son,
I have none of it.
Yeah,
my dad has some, and his dad was a mechanic.
Yeah,
as well. But I just none of it rubbed off on me.
Yeah, Boar probably has a little.
Yeah,
more than
yeah,
you.
Yeah. He can fix up some shit. He's definitely not going to have like Boar's definitely not going to have any tools though.
Yeah. What about like Mad Dog?
Yeah. Mad Dog could fix all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Way better than both
He's
of you.
He's better at tearing it apart, though.
Yeah, well, that's half the trick, you know. My older son is, after after getting all the way to like the last semester of a degree in psychology, moved to Canada and got married, and none of those units are worth anything. So right. now he's getting a degree in IT, you know, network administration, right. something like that.
He's
and that,
like 28 or something, 26?
28, yeah. Oh,
okay, there 29. We go. And then Sam is, how old is Sam?
25.
Okay.
And Sam's the one who got the photography eye.
Right. He's done a lot of the photos for us, for the Power of He Meets and stuff like that, and some of the pictures you'll sometimes see pop up on supertraining.tv.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You gonna say something else?
Yeah, and he's picked up a fair amount of the technical stuff over time. But like what I discovered is that all the time that I spent watching my dad like working on stuff around the house, I didn't necessarily learn it.
Right.
Until I did it myself.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Because you got to fuck up yourself, right?
Yeah, you got to get into the middle of it and figure it out. But I am back to podcast for a second. I actually graduated from high school about a semester early. I just had a bunch of units, and I couldn't take like two or three classes just to keep going. They made you either take a full load or graduate early.
Yeah.
Mike's into the full load.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're talking about big units. I know about those too.
So I just graduated early, and then I started going to community college. And so I took like, I don't know, 15, 18 units of radio then because I was really interested.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
At that time, you know, you're in like your 20s. Did you, were you exercising at all? Lifting or doing anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I started lifting in high school. Okay. I had bad knees. I had really bad Osgood Schlatter, especially in one knee. And at that particular point of time in my doctor or whatever, they were like, no, don't do sports.
What is that condition? That, is that like your body's knee. Growing too fast?
Yeah, your kneecap pulls away from its attachment.
Away from the
patella tendon.
Tendon pulls away from the basically the head of the tibia.
Yeah,
right?
And someone suggested that you lift, and you got into it from there.
I had the opportunity to do it because they had a to satisfy the PE requirement, you could take a lifting class.
Yeah,
and so that's when I started. So
you and Adrian Larson.
yeah, true.
Exactly.
You'll like, never lift more than me, motherfucker.
That's the best story ever.
Yeah. I asked him later, like off the air, I asked him more about that. And he's like,
well, he said, and his PE teacher only did 315 for one?
Yeah.
Well, he said he saw him like recently and the guy just wouldn't even look at him. He's like,
That's interesting.
I don't know why that guy was ever a teacher.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a dickhead, yeah.
He was like kids, obviously.
Our teacher was the varsity football coach.
Oh, okay.
And so he had a lot of his players in class.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, I was not one of those guys. I was not a jock.
Yeah.
I was more of a geek, but you know, everybody got along. It wasn't like a, you know.
So like going through college and stuff, did you learn some of these trades or did you go to school for something different?
I have a degree in business, an undergrad degree in business marketing and an MBA.
Where'd you go to school at?
I went to five schools undergrad, believe it or not.
Is that common?
Yeah, my dad.
I was gonna say my mom did too.
Yeah, my dad did the same thing.
I went to
like three or four.
I mean, I went to two, and so if I would have graduated, who knows how many I would have gone through.
I went to Delta in Stockton, which is a junior college.
Oh, I thought that was like a Reebok thing.
I went to the school of Reeboks.
I went to Loyola Marymount University
in L.A.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
I went to Long Beach State for a year.
I didn't know that either.
Then,
how'd you like Loyola?
You know, it was awesome, but it's very Catholic.
Did you go to any basketball games?
Holy crap.
Yeah. Were they not good at basketball around
They
the time?
Were then. I don't know.
You know, I wasn't into basketball.
Yeah. I had friends that went there and just fucking loved it. And obviously the women.
Well, you know, it's a great location.
Yeah, it's amazing. Bitties.
It's like 5 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Playa del Rey is right there. Yeah. And Marina del Rey is down the down the way.
Yeah, some of the schools down in Southern California are crazy. Like I remember
Pepperdine
University.
Yeah, most amazing.
Those are the
kind of like Malibu, right?
Yeah, Malibu. No, just right.
Those
on
are
the
two
ocean.
Schools I was looking to go to. I was like, God, damn, these are amazing.
Yeah, I looked at. I couldn't get a scholarship. Too expensive. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You know, I only got accepted to a couple of schools. Like one of them was SMU, and I didn't really want to go there. So
were your parents? You know, they drive education into you, kind of saying like it just, or is that just sort of a standard thing? You know, because my dad, he just kind of like. My dad and his my uncles and aunts and stuff, they all just kind of like went to college. I don't know if it was something that was, you know, pounded into their fat head or if it was like they just went and did it because that's what you did at the time.
Well, that's what they pounded into, but neither one of them did more than a little bit of community college.
Right. But they just wanted you to probably have better opportunities than they
did. Yeah. I was very, very much of the time. I think everybody still wants that, but I don't know that the path is there for it. Even for me, the path wasn't necessarily there for it. I mean, my dad never made a lot of money, but he always worked really steadily. And I've always had the kind of jobs in the corporate world where your neck was on the line all the time. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I didn't go back to the corporate world at any point, because
There's a lot
so
of money
stressful.
To be made there, but if it doesn't make you happy, then what's
I was, I found that I'm kind of an obsessive person about trying to get stuff done. If I get way into it, I just, I can't calm down. You know, I got all this crap from my wife at the time that the kids were little, like, you're not here. You're not present. You're not paying attention. It's like, yeah, but I'm trying to make money over here, So,
no.
What does your wife do?
And my wife is a registered nurse.
By the way, I know all these answers, but I'm just, this is for you guys.
You know all of them?
Not all of them. No, actually, and some of this is new.
Yeah,
I think I missed two schools. But let me. I went to actually Sac City here for a couple classes to get ready to go back to Sac State. So both of my degrees are from Sac State. My wife is a registered nurse, has been for a long time, and she does nurse consulting as well. So she's like an administrative nurse now, which means she's still doing patient care, but she is also in charge of people.
Right. How is that? Like when you guys have an ailment around the house, does it help or does it make it worse because she doesn't care?
Or she's annoying.
Well, it depends on whether she thinks this is a serious thing or not.
Right.
Like something can hurt for a long time and she doesn't really give that much of a shit about it, And she
like, I've seen way worse, buddy. Just relax.
Yeah, exactly. And she doesn't want to talk about poop at all, ever.
Really?
Ever. Yeah.
Some people are that way.
Yeah,
my best friend's going through like nursing programs and stuff right now. That's all he wants to talk to me about. He's like, dude, I just wiped the butthole. I swear he texted me that. Yeah. I was like, I don't care. That's disgusting. I don't want to hear that.
Well, yeah, Sam is actually going through a CNA course right now.
Yeah.
And
just wiping buttholes.
Yeah. And just like dealing with big people. You know, he's a relatively big guy, and so they expect him to be able to like lift people and that's
change
just,
diapers, man diapers.
Yeah.
He's like 6'2", maybe, right?
6'1".
Six
I could never change a man diaper.
Yeah.
You can. And you will.
Yeah. No. Well,
I just shit myself right now, as a matter of fact.
If it was a relative, if it was somebody who couldn't be helped otherwise.
I would hire somebody.
But you're alone and nobody else could be there.
They're sleeping in their shit.
You're laying in your own filthy, dirty bastard.
Yeah, it's easy to say that, but if you were right in the middle of it, you're too compassionate, I know.
I thought it was going to be a big deal when I had children and it wasn't.
No. The biggest deal about that, as I remember, is that my older son, all he did was fucking scream.
No.
Every time he changed his diaper.
Yeah. Sometimes
I had a Walkman that I kept on the changing table. I would just crank the music up so I couldn't hear him screaming.
That's great.
They get screaming like crazy. Their little hands are going all nuts and everything.
Yeah. On the flip side, if it's something kind of, legitimately serious, like, I don't know, I've had kind of like a couple of like ingrown hair type infections that started to get out of control.
Right.
And she would freak out about that because of, MRSA or any of those.
She's seen.
Thought it might be something real serious.
Yeah. And, one thing or another, I've said before, my son had a concussion a couple weeks ago and she's been real concerned about that.
Right.
But, and obviously we had the issue with the baby in December that's one of those times where it's worse.
Right.
Because really you see the worst case scenarios in your head.
Yeah, right. Her head's probably running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was, she's a real stoic person, and so she doesn't walk around being a mess and crying like the way I might.
Yeah.
She communicated the gravity of the situation to us.
How long have you been married for?
Coming up on 31 years.
God damn. 31 years, Silent Mike. You hear that?
It's older than me.
Son of a bitch.
Yep.
In regards to the videos and stuff, you've been like when I first met you, you were already into all that stuff. Did you like video and take tons of photos of your children when you were
I took a lot of pictures of the kids and I started taking video. The reason I started taking video was that my wife's dad actually, I'll back up a little bit. I was always interested in when Jake was a year old, like on his first birthday, we rented a video camera and I shot video of his whole day.
Right.
just so that
the
we
first
would have
YouTube
it.
Vlog.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, just so that we would have it. And then when Sam was born, it was before he turned one.
Yeah,
my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and a bad cancer that wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to
right.
to make it. And they bought a video camera about that time. Mm-hmm. We actually went to Hawaii for a big like family thing. Big all huge group of us went, and I just started shooting things then, so that. If he wasn't around much longer, my kids would have something to remember.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it, you know, became kind of a thing to do.
Right.
And then I got more interested in actually doing it when I met Jesse.
Right. Yeah. Right around that time. Was,
you
yeah.
saw Jesse met and the you, first thing you thought was, let's put a lens on this head.
No. No, actually, you know, honestly, I think that the first couple of lifters that I saw that really sort of put it in my head is I think Buffington. Mm-hmm. Was doing that first meet yeah. that I saw, and I know Jason Burnell
yeah.
did that meet too. And
there is something really awesome about, you know, a powerlifting gym, and the gym that they were at the time, Diablo Barbell, was a cool place to be, and the music and the energy, and you know, it was a similar atmosphere at like Westside Barbell and similar yeah. atmosphere that we get here. It is something that like, fuck man, I got to figure out a way to like document this. This is
right.
This is awesome. Like other people should kind of see this. It's not always so much about the lift. But unfortunately, you know, through the camera lens, you can't always capture everything that's going on. I mean,
no.
A lot of times when we do a big lift here, there could be 20 or 30 people watching. There could be four or five cameras on somebody.
Right.
And again, it's, you know, of course we're trying to say, yeah, kind of, hey, look what we're doing. It's cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just think it's fucking awesome.
Right.
We're trying to share it with people.
Right, right.
Let's get to Silent Mike, unless you want to try to add anything else to some of that stuff
that's,
there.
And that's his good. Life in 3 minutes.
Well, let's talk about the podcast for a little bit. Like, right. You know, would you just make up how to fucking do this or what?
Well, it's true. It's true. You were the one that brought it to me. I'm sure you brought it to Mark, but I know in one conversation you just came to me like, hey, I think I convinced Mark to do a podcast. Do you want to be on it? I was like, okay. And I didn't even know what a podcast was. I literally don't think I'd ever listened to a podcast. And this was only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I still really don't listen to many of them.
No, I listen to some here and there, but right. just because.
I got to be, I think the first podcast that I listened to at all were actually episode commentaries for the new Battlestar Galactica. The guy who was the producer, the executive producer, yeah. would sit and watch the show mm-hmm. as broadcast and just talk through it about right. stuff that was going on. And sometimes he had other people with him or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, well, this is kind of an interesting format, especially since I didn't usually, I mean, they were made to watch along with the show.
So he's
and
just
I never
talking
did
about,
that.
He's just talking about like why he did this scene.
Yeah. It was like DVD commentary and a lot of yeah. them eventually became DVD.
You've watched a lot of that. You've always been into that. You've been into movies and television and
yeah,
stuff. And
you're
always kind of you have a lot of facts about the behind the scenes stuff. So yeah. that probably helped.
Yeah, it did. I'm a big fan of DVD commentaries. Those are kind right. of gone the way of the wind now.
Yeah, there's
I
not
mean,
much.
People don't buy DVDs that much right. anymore. But yeah, I don't know. There was that, and then I started listening to stuff like Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla and really early on, and I thought, well, it'd be really cool to be able to do something like that, but I think I said in the last episode that it didn't really come around until I knew that we could have Mike sit in.
Right.
I made the decision that he was going to be on before I ever talked to him, so.
No.
Just forced his hand. I love it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm
yeah.
forced into all this mess.
You have a, what do you have, a pump fucking
keychain? You
pump,
don't have one?
Pump it up for us.
You don't have one?
I don't have one.
It came with your shoes. You got to take it off and put it on here. Whoosh.
Oh, maybe I left it on my shoes.
Yeah. That's ghetto.
Son of a bitch.
You can't leave tags on things anymore.
Why? No.
That's like ludicrous era. That's too ghetto.
You can't do it anymore?
No. I had to take all the tags off.
And where do you put them? You just throw them away?
Yeah.
That seems like a waste.
I throw away my socks after I wear them one time, too. Mm. Wear them once, throw them away.
Why
I don't.
Not?
I don't really, but I wish I could.
Do that with your shoes?
I remember like watching MTV and they'd do that.
Just give them away. Wear them once.
Rappers
give them away.
Would talk about it. They'd wear like white shirts and jeans. They're like, this gone tomorrow. One stain. And
why
you're
do
done.
They wear white shirts?
They always wore white shirts. Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne was the movement of wearing tight shirts.
I saw. Is it Yo Gotti? Is that his name?
Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti. I saw him wearing a fucking wife beater, just looking so yeah. fat the other day.
I don't know where the wife beater. Why is it called a wife beater?
I don't know.
Well, I know, but I don't know.
Just kind of trailer trash kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, just wearing underwear as your shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wearing tidy whities and a wife beater shirt. Yeah.
I want to say, Streetcar Named Desire, but I don't know if that's really true.
I don't know what that is.
Marlon Brando as Stanley Kowalski wore.
He's abusive.
Yeah, and what's called an A shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or an undershirt tank or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called an A shirt? I never heard that.
Yeah,
I've read that.
Makes sense. T-shirt, A shirt.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, T-shirt, A shirt. Learn. What about the B shirt?
I don't know. There's no B shirt.
I'm cold. What's going on in here?
Are you cold?
My hands are cold.
Want me to warm you up? You have a jacket right behind you.
Will you put it on me?
It's okay. We're going to start asking questions.
I know.
I'm not going to be cold anymore.
Oh, maybe that's why you got so cold.
I got nervous. Who knows what the hell is about to come up?
First question is, how old were you when you were born?
So I think in like most Asian countries, you're born one.
Really? No, that you're fucking lying.
No, I swear.
You make up weird facts. We have this whole Nutella thing going on.
I had a...
Jim, are you buying any of this?
No.
Google it. I'm pretty sure it's Korean. You're a year older than you are. They count it. So, like, I'm actually...
Oh, I see. Because you were for 9 months.
Yeah.
Ah.
So you're born one. I'm pretty sure... Google Korea. I think it's Korea.
Google Korea. Hey, Jim, bring up fucking Korea, huh? Like, so much information is going to fucking bring up one of them their continents, huh?
Just do, like, Korea birthdays or age.
Let's check out Asia.
I swear. I'm pretty sure it's Korean. I had, like, an exchange student, and he told me, he was like,
Korean birthday song. Let's watch that.
We're in, like, sixth grade or something. The kid's like, I'm 16. Like, fuck you, you're 16, buddy. What's going on? And they counted it weird. I swear. I'm way smarter than I look.
What a bunch of assholes.
I know. I used to be smart, and then I became a meathead.
Being zero is kind of weird.
Yeah, see, that's what they're never zero.
Fucking 0 years old.
It's always months.
You know when you're zero.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your...
When you're inside the hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Zeroing out.
Does it say anything about that, me being correct?
Where were you born, Silent Mike?
I was born in Portland, Oregon.
What?
Up there by Adrian Larson.
Oh, my God.
And all the hippies.
Yeah, you fucking hippie son of a bitch.
I don't know why we're up there. I've moved everywhere.
Is your dad there for work or something?
Yeah, work. Everything we've done is for work.
Work related?
Yeah.
Chasing down that money.
Yeah, we went from Portland to Seattle. Seattle to here.
And you're, who's from Argentina? Your mama?
Mom. Momsy? Moved here when she was like 18 or
and
something.
She just came back from there and gave me this wonderful bottle of wine, which I'm going to drink the whole thing.
We got a fucking,
right
I think it's a
podcast.
Chocolate beer. I don't know.
I got it. Yeah, it's a porter, yeah.
Yeah, Argentina's not like known for their beer, but I didn't think Jim liked wine. So I made mom got him beer.
I like both. But this beer is really unique. Yeah. So.
And then
you been
the wine.
To Argentina before?
Yeah, once.
How was it? You like it?
No, I didn't like it.
How old were you?
Young. Eighth grade? Seventh grade? Sixth grade?
You just like being around here, being a bum?
Yeah, well, it felt like a third world country, even though at the time it was probably, I think it was top five like economies in the world at the time.
Right.
You know, it was kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s. And my family's from like a small ranching area, like all farms and stuff, gauchos and shit. All my family's gauchos, so like it just felt dirty to me.
Right.
And it wasn't dirty. It was just country.
You have cousins and stuff and uncles and shit like that down there.
Tons of, no uncles or aunts, but tons of cousins. Like my mom's, I think
are
my
they first cousins or are they?
Yeah, I don't even know. No, they're, yeah, I think, I guess they're my mom's first cousins.
Yeah.
So whatever that makes me.
What does that make you?
I don't know. What's your mom's first cousins? Second cousins? Or I guess that's first cousins
your mom's
once removed?
First cousin, yeah, once removed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you get here to Sacramento's area?
Probably like, I was six, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Five, six,
and
pretty young. I've lived here.
Five,
much
six.
The whole
life. You stayed the same height the whole time.
Yeah, it was the same height and the age.
Anything between Portland and Sacramento?
Seattle for like 2 years. I remember Seattle, so I might have been like four or five. I remember like our house
drinking
a little
bit. Starbucks as a little baby.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. I wish I did. Seattle's amazing. I've been back to Seattle once. Seattle's a cool city.
Yeah,
so
like
so is Portland. I don't think I could live there, but both cities are pretty cool.
Yeah,
I would agree with you. I don't think I could live there, but I like them.
They're
both
very different than Sacramento. Like, there are cities, you know.
Yeah.
Sacramento's a little
Did you play? I know you played a lot of basketball. What about some other sports?
I played first sport I ever played was just soccer for, like...
Right. Just when you were,
like organized.
Four or five or some shit?
Yeah, I played soccer probably for, like, 6 years organized before I ever played basketball. But I was good at basketball. All I did on by my own was play basketball.
Right.
But I never
played
organized.
When did you start messing around with basketball?
I don't know. There's pictures of me in a basketball since I was, like, two or three.
Oh, okay. You were always into it.
Yeah. Always played basketball. And then didn't play organized basketball until I was probably like 12.
And then what year were you born? Let's start with that.
88.
Ah, 88, huh?
Hmm.
Young buck over here.
Yeah. Wait, we've already talked about this, that I think all of us are about 12 years apart.
Oh, really?
11, 12, something like that.
Yeah, me and you, are, I think, are 12, and then you and Jim are like 12 or 11.
Oh, my God.
Generation spans.
When's the first time like you remember kind of like, you know, watching Michael Jordan and like kind of like more so like I guess, you know, getting inspired and kind of taking it more serious than just dribbling around in your backyard or whatever?
Yeah, first time I like really got into sports, I was probably early 90s. Mm. Like my dad would watch football every Sunday.
1992 or some shit.
Yeah, it was literally probably when Jordan was like peaking, like 91, right. 92, 93. I watched all like
was
the
that
Jordan.
A three-peat around that time?
Yeah, I think it was 92, 93, and then he somewhere took baseball off and then came back and won two more.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And then he won one early in the 80s. But I watched all that. Magic Johnson was back in the league but sucked. It was like Gary Payton,
right?
Patrick Ewing, all the Houston guys. And then it was like early football. It was kind of like the Denver Broncos, like Elway. And then the Cowboys were kicking everybody's ass. Jerry Rice was around. No really Montana.
Position did you play when you started playing organized basketball?
They had me play like center a lot,
right?
Because I was like kind of thick, and I like grew really early.
Right,
I'm pretty short. I'm probably only like 5'8" or 5'9", but I was probably 5'6" in sixth and seventh grade, and then 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah, there
like
wasn't as much separation probably at that age.
Right, so you go to all these camps, and I'm like one of the tall kids.
Right,
and I'm broader than everybody.
And then what position did you end up playing?
I played point guard. Pretty much for all my real career.
Real, recognized, real.
You know, it's funny you say you were like broader, heavier, whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you've
got
a tiny waist. And I always think of like husky as being a big waisted kid. You
know? It wasn't I was just like, especially at the school I was at, I was like, went to a small private school. Cause my mom
you just
was
weren't
a teacher
skinny.
There.
Everybody else
Everybody
was probably
was really skinny.
Yeah.
They were really skinny. And even like other schools, like I wasn't fat, but some of the fat kids were like short and fat.
Yeah.
And I was like a little bit taller and a little bit broader. Like I had some muscle on me for like whatever a sixth grader has.
Yeah.
I was just bigger.
When did you start getting into lifting?
Like eighth grade.
Okay.
My sister went to a pretty competitive Catholic high school here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still obviously in junior high. And she was trying to make the basketball team there. So my dad got her a trainer, and he's amazing. He trained a bunch of like stud, some NFL guys and top one D1 guys, some European basketball players. And I was like, screw that. Like, I want to go. Like, I want to get better.
Right.
So, like, I just started going in like eighth grade, and we didn't do anything crazy. We'd do his facility at the time was sick. It was like his own place with one other pro guy. I forgot his name. Played at Iowa. He has all these scoring records and then played in Italy for a long time. So I think they bought it together.
Yeah.
So they had like a whole weight room, everything you could need, machines, treadmills, everything.
Right.
And then they had like 50 yards of turf or 40 yards of turf. Mm. And then they had a half-court basketball court.
And that was here somewhere in Sacramento?
Yeah, it was in Sacramento. So like we'd do workouts like whatever, just like three sets of 10 on pull downs.
Right.
But in between each one, you had to go like make five threes or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You'd be getting shots up. And so like you're like
that
fatigued. Yeah. And like he didn't have me one rep max.
Kind of the rest
anything.
Pause method.
It was rest pause with my free throws.
Active recovery.
And so when I was like going, it was just fun. Like I didn't care. And then you get like pumped like for the first time.
Right.
You're like, fuck, this is amazing.
Was your dad like real actively involved and like excited that you were like playing basketball, or was he more like just hanging back?
Yeah, he was really into it. He was like really into sports. He
plays sports himself?
Yeah, he played baseball and football. And he could play basketball, but he was tiny. He was probably like 5'6".
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he was actually like husky. So he never like played basketball beyond junior high.
Right.
And then he played college football a little bit at D3 and college rugby. But he loved basketball. Probably basketball and baseball were his favorite sports.
Right.
And so he was all about it. He would do anything I asked. He would go and rebound for me and shit. He just wanted to hang out.
Right.
Yeah.
He would play, you know, play like one-on-one against you.
A little
and shit
bit.
Like that.
I don't know if he was pretty beat up.
Yeah.
He like had beat up shoulders from
right.
Like, he played like linebacker and stuff in college,
right.
And then some like even offensive line because it was D3. It was a little smaller, so he was pretty beat up. His knees were beat up, but you try.
Right. Every once in a while, I just nail a 3-pointer in your face.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like yeah, like every once in a while you like sprint and I'll be like, what the fuck? You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, Jake. I raced Jake a couple weeks ago, and he was like all fucking mad that he lost.
Did you smoke him? Yeah. Yeah. I had that same realization when me and you were messing around in Boise. Like, I'd never seen Mark. We'd run with a prowler here and there, but I'd never seen you run. You probably ran 30 yards and just took off.
If I didn't think I'd blow my knees off, I'd still be able to sprint.
That was so funny.
At least decent.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be
sprinting
great.
Does hurt, even if you don't, like, blow your knees off. But, like, playing my basketball alumni games, like, my knees and my, like, obliques get hurt.
Right.
Everything, like, gets weird sore.
You also mentioned that you went to college. What'd you go to college for?
Out of high school, like, I thought I was way cooler than I was, and, like, I had a big ego, so
right.
I didn't get, like, a lot of scholarship looks. I got, like, talked to a couple coaches here and there.
This is why, you know, this is brings up a point. This is why I think sports are so important for people. I really think it's important to, like, understand your place, you know, whether it's a good place than the place you want to be or whether it's not.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, really effective in steering your life in the right direction. The earlier that you start to figure that stuff out, the earlier that you eat shit, the earlier that you start seeing, fuck, man, a lot of guys are way better than I thought. You know, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah.
The earlier then you can start heading, you know, in the right
good place.
Direction for yourself. You know?
And I think it was a little bit of that, but mostly my ego was like, fuck that, dude. Like, I was more confident than cocky. And, like, I think I could go play.
But even though you're cocky, did you still practice and train? And
harder than anybody, I think. Because, like, right. I'm 5'8". I'm, like, a white guy.
Right.
Like, that's just what it is, you know? And I was good. But if there's somebody else that's 6'2", with my exact same skill set,
right.
who's going to get the scholarship?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's right. just the fact. There's 6'2 guys everywhere that could dribble like me.
Right.
And I still think, like, yeah, I could have gone and sat the bench at, like, some pretty good D1 schools.
Right.
But my ego wouldn't allow that.
Right.
So, like, I ended up going to play JC. Things didn't really work out. I was, like, driving 45 minutes every single day to go there. I didn't want to move because it wasn't in, like, the greatest area.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass, especially when you're a kid, you know, driving that far
and
not really having the funds or the means for gas. You don't want to always siphon all the money out of your parents' pocket all the time. It makes you feel like shit.
Yeah, there was
– so it's tough.
It was just long days.
Yeah.
You know, you get there at practice at –
Those are weird years between the time you're, like, 16 and, like, 23 even.
Yeah, it was all blur now.
Yeah. It's time that, you know, like, you go to school until you're, what, about 18, right? High school?
Yeah, 17, 18.
And then 18 to almost about 25.
Yeah.
Like, you could definitely, and that's why college exists, just because, like, you need some time to waste before you fucking figure out what you want to actually do.
We were talking about, like, the German system or whatever the other day. It's, you know, in Germany, it's something like you graduate high school at, I don't know, 16, and then you either go serve the military for, whatever, 1 or 2 years, or you go to university.
Right.
And, like, that's a great option. Yeah. Like here, like, you go to university, and there's some kids that know what they want to do and graduate fast in 4 or 5 years. And then there's some kids that just, like, dick around for, like, 10 years.
I would say that's
years.
Probably fairly rare nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, for someone to really know what they're doing and to be focused enough
for
fucking 4 years to, you know, get a degree.
I think that's why I went to 5 schools undergrad, in part, because I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do.
Yeah, but, Mark, you mentioned, like, your dad and his brothers just, like, went to school because that's what people did.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's a little different, like... People, that was in my head, like, I go to high school, I'll go to college, and then I'll find some job that I want
to
make money on. I never even once thought about, like, I'm going to find a job that I like. Like, I never once that crossed my mind. Like, I don't know if my dad liked his job or not. He probably didn't hate it because he worked really fucking hard at it.
Right.
But he probably didn't love it either.
Yeah, I think in that era, though, it might have just been like you just know that you need to figure out a way to make some money. If you're going to have a family, you need to be able to supply for them or provide for them, rather.
Yeah. And then if you're successful, it's just because you work your ass off and other people just kind of coast.
Right. And I think maybe, you know, with the exceptions of some certain people being like some sort of weird special talent of being a musician or an artist or, you know, being awesome at basketball or football or something like that, I don't think people dream the same way they dream now, you know, because things are just different.
Yeah. The internet.
Literally. The interwebs has kind of changed a lot of things. It allows a lot of different people to allows everyone to talk. Everyone can have a piece.
Well, I can't imagine. Famous. You know, I haven't been with the Slingshot the whole time. You know, Slingshot's been around, what, 6 years, 5 years?
I don't even know.
Yeah, but I've been with it, you know, 2 or 3.
Right.
I can't imagine what you and I would do if there was no internet.
Yeah, I know.
What, would we rent a store downtown and try to sell Slingshots out of it?
No, I don't know. The invention would never have done nearly what it's done.
You and I,
our
daily activity would probably be on the phone calling strength coaches.
Well,
it
would have just, the whole thing would have been really hard to even get off the ground because the only place I'd be able to facilitate it at would be in the gym.
Right.
And I'd have to just sell it out of the gym.
Yeah.
Right.
I would also have to hustle to meets and try to sell it at meets.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole process would have been brutal.
Yeah, it would have been night and day.
I think people are surprised that you don't do that now. With going to meets to try to sell them, but it's number one, it's difficult.
Yeah,
and number two, it's a limited audience, you know?
Yeah. It, you know, there's a bunch of reasons for it. I mean, I don't always think about, like, money necessarily, but what am I going to go do, sell 5 slingshots? It's not going to really, my website, you know, is thriving so well that I just don't think it matters that much.
No.
I do think it is important to be there and to see people, and all that interaction and stuff like that is huge. That's even way, you know, that would be way more effective than me actually selling them.
Yeah.
If I actually went there and, you know, just had a few slingshots there for people to, like, try on.
Yeah.
And didn't even, that would probably be way more effective than trying to sell them. Because all I'd really make is a few $100, maybe $1,000 or something.
Well, and primarily you're selling to people who don't want to pay shipping, and it's not that expensive. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, shipping's $5.
Right. Yeah.
Some shipping gets weird, but our shipping luckily is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not too bad. We're always working on getting shit better. You know, it helps to have Silent Mock around. It helps have you guys around to be able to drive all the stuff. And the podcast, of course, has, you know, Stan said he's getting a good reception out in at FIBO.
Yeah.
Stan Efferding. And he said he thinks it's from being with us, being out here and
Supertrain
doing
TV.
The videos with us. I mean, he's never really ventured outside the country before.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
At least not recently. Yeah. I'm sure he's ventured out of the country. I shouldn't say that. He's been out of the country
many
times.
But not as a fitness celebrity.
Yeah, not like this. So.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, like, 2 years ago there was nothing, and last year was a little bit. But this year I've gotten a ton of tweets and comments like, you guys coming to FIBO, or you guys coming to Body Power. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell are you people doing?
I think at the San Jose Fit Expo, that's what we'll be.
That'll be in June.
I'd love to go to Body Power next year, even just to see it, you know?
Yeah.
I like England, you know, so it'd be fun to go.
England and Germany, check them out.
Yeah, it'd be fun. The fan thing, the web liberty thing that we have going on is a constantly increasing experience, I guess.
Yeah.
I had a fan message me last night at like midnight from New York, saying, "Are you guys going to be at Tribeca?" And
right.
I said, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, I really want to meet you." I said, "Buy a ticket to the movie, because I have no idea what else we're doing that you could meet us at."
You'll find me at every pizza parlor around.
Yeah. No, we're going to just blow it up, right?
Yeah. I'm going to find Mike Rashid. I think Rashid's from there, right? He said he was from Brooklyn.
Oh, come on. Every black guy says that.
He's from Lower East Manhattan.
Yeah. No, he did say he was from New York, though. I remember, in that interview.
I thought he said, maybe I'm the racist saying he's from Brooklyn.
From
Queens or something?
I made fun of him saying booths, and he tried to blame it on being from New York. I'm like, I don't think that's what it's from. I'm from New York, too. I don't say booths. Booth instead of booth.
Both. How far away are you from New York?
How far away do I live from, like, New York City?
Not right now, but when you were born.
Yeah.
Not right now. 3,500.
I lived about an hour and a half or so, I think.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's like us in San Francisco?
Yeah. My family is closer, though, like where I was born and all that stuff. It's a lot. It's like 45 minutes or some shit like that.
And the whole Bell family's coming to Tribeca? Or went to Tribeca?
A lot of them are. It's, you know, yeah. Yeah, they were there, yeah.
They loved it.
They loved it.
That's great that I heard that Prescription Thugs got 5 stars. Great job.
Boop, 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 boop. No, the weird thing is that everyone is, like, so happy. You know, everyone's so excited. They're so happy. They keep texting me and calling and stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you and Andy, and it's going to be so fun. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You have no idea what this movie's about to do to your face.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to rip people pretty good. So.
Yeah, especially.
It's a dark film. It's about fucking being an addict.
Well, it's going to do it to the whole nation, but let alone the family that's close to it.
I mean, you know, you break it down to its simplest form, it's about being a junkie. Like, that's what Tate talked about when he was on the show. And he just kind of just blatantly called himself that, which I thought was harsh, you know, on himself, but I thought it was good.
It's harsh because we like him. It's hard not to like him, but at the same time, like, you hate to see somebody say something negative about themselves, but that's introspection. He's, you know.
Yeah. I think it's just important to realize it because, you know, he said, like, his mom never wanted to see him again kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because he screwed them over so many times. Yeah. You know, people keep giving you chance after chance after chance, and you keep fucking them over. Eventually, you know, they're just going to turn their back on you. They don't have time for you anymore.
That kind of happened with you guys in Mad Dog. I mean,
not
that you ever really wanted to give up on him, but it was really, really hard.
Oh, and
I know it was very challenging. I remember when we were all going out to the Arnold, was it 2006, to film there, and he was supposed to be on a flight.
Right.
and he just could not make it onto the flight. He just freaked out somehow.
Yeah, I think he maybe even got on the plane and then just
and then lost it and then
took off. Yeah, I mean, you know, you end up with a lot of disappointment because people say they're going to be somewhere.
Right.
You know we talk about drugs all the time, but if you know someone who's like, you know, not showing up, like not showing up for things that are really important, you know, and they're kind of trying to separate themselves a lot from you, like just try to think about it a little bit more. There might be an issue there. Or they're lying. You know, they kind of catch them in a couple small lies, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't have to like think everybody's on them, but those are some good signs.
People
you know?
Lie for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, like, hey, it's not a big deal. Like, you didn't have to lie about that. And then you're thinking, like, they just lied about, like, 10 things that don't matter.
They might say a couple things that don't add up either. They don't really make a lot of sense. Or they might talk in a desperate way. That's the way Chris was at a certain point, too. I was just like, well, that's weird, man. Why? You know, he and I are very similar in a lot of ways. So to hear him say certain things, I'm like, that's offbeat. That doesn't really make sense. You know? And that's when I started kind of, you know, understanding that he had an issue as well. You know?
Yeah, I think I may have even mentioned it at the time that it seemed like he had, I think maybe as far back as when he did that shoot for Reebok.
Yeah.
Like,
he was drunk.
There's definitely not, this is not a good setup right here. He's not, you know.
No, he was, he was literally drunk when he was there. He, the issue started back with his, it may have even started before that, you know, like when he went to rehab and stuff, he kind of realized, some of this shit probably started, you know, when I was in like college, you know, started developing some of these patterns. But anyway, he had a double hip surgery.
Right.
And he took painkillers for that. And I think, what you put in your body, you're 100% responsible for. You can't blame any doctors or the system or whatever.
Right.
The system's not making you take those pills. You can stop at some point. But the problem is it just becomes really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Further and further down that road that you go, it's easy. You get instant satisfaction from it.
Right.
In multiple ways. Like you take the pill and then like your pain goes away. Now you can walk around. You know, and so every time you do that, you're like, oh, I can walk around. And then you take more and more. And maybe you want to be a little bit high.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want a little escape from reality with a little bit of wine or some beer or something like that? That's what it's all about whenever you do it. Even caffeine, right?
Yeah.
All these things are a little
food.
Much. All these things are like a little bit of an escape from just shit being so fucking boring. And so then you develop habits of addiction, and the next thing you're more fucked up than you ever thought was possible.
Yeah, you know? I think that I think maybe you and I are somewhat in the same boat as that. We probably have some of the characteristics of addiction, but really could never go full bore into it, so to speak, because there are like other limiting factors in our personality. Like like I found out
children.
Yeah.
Which,
that for
you
sure.
Know, once
but
you
like
do that kind of stuff and it's like, fuck man, I can't, you know,
I can't persist with drinking enough, you know, like I found out very early on that I could be blackout drunk. It was very easy for me to be blackout drunk. And, I backed off of it because I didn't feel good and I couldn't persist with it. I wasn't interested in drinking all the time, and it didn't really solve anything for me.
Right.
You know?
Well, and if you can think about it in a term where you're like, you know what, it's affecting the next day and maybe even the day after that, and I'm getting late to work and stuff like that, then odds are you probably aren't an addict. Cause I think that usually they get to themselves to a point where they're not looking at anything rationally anymore.
They can't reason. Find a reason.
Yeah, they can't really, you know, and that helped me deal with Mad Dog all the time was like, you know, he's not rational.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the guy's got a fucking screw loose. So
there's
no reason for me to try to apply what I think is right to him. It doesn't fit, you know. So once I kind of did that, which was, you know, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or so, that just really, that helped the emotional side of it. That helped kind of alleviate some of the pressure from that, you know.
I remember Mad Dog being just really, like, in times that I dealt with him, very, very engaging.
Yeah.
Like,
he's super sensitive, too. I mean, he's engaging because, you know, he would care a lot about people.
Right,
he would ask people a lot of questions, and he would, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, because he kind of, quote, unquote, beat the shit out of the family a little bit. But people that he didn't know, you know, he loved everybody.
Right.
You know, it was interesting, but It's just the way he was. You know, he was just super protective of like any of us. You know, yeah. he could say stuff about us or do whatever, put us through whatever heartache that he wanted to.
Right.
But if somebody said something about us, then they were dead. He was going to kick their ass. You know.
We haven't actually interviewed you exactly the same way as everybody else, but I think that a lot of people do know some of the story.
Yeah, where were you born, Smelly?
From the movie.
Oh, my God. I was born in Peekskill, New York in 1976. Same hospital as...
Snooki.
Maybe. Yeah, she's from the area. Yeah. Mel Gibson. That's why we look the same.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the same flowing locks and everything.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What's that city like? And then you grew up in, like, Poughkeepsie, which is close, yeah?
Yeah. I never actually lived in the Peekskill, Buchanan area, which is where my, like, entire family is from. My grandparents are from. I lived more in, like, the Dutchess County area, which is kind of like Poughkeepsie. I never actually even lived in Poughkeepsie, but we just say Poughkeepsie.
Different counties or whatever.
That's the closest.
Yeah, it's the same as Davis to Sacramento. I'd always just tell people I'm from Sacramento. Right.
Yeah, it's like, for me, it's like Stockton. I didn't really grow up in Stockton. I was born in Stockton, but I didn't grow up there because that people have heard of Stockton largely because it's of just, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just easier. And then Poughkeepsie is, like, a little easier to make fun of, you know. Yeah. It's just a piece of shit fucking city.
Was it like cows and shit, or just
small? There's a little bit of that, but there's like Dutchess County is like that. You know, Dutchess County is actually very similar to here. When I first came here with my wife and saw the area, I was like, "This is fucking bizarre. This is the same as fucking Poughkeepsie."
Yeah.
You know, but obviously way nicer. You know, it's a million times nicer. The weather's nicer and everything.
Everything
else
on the East Coast is just kind of old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like out here, like, there's old areas in Sacramento, but still most of the houses look pretty nice and stuff. You drive through, you know, Cleveland or Pittsburgh. Yeah.
You drive along, like, the Hudson River or something. You're like, this place is fucking miserable.
Yeah,
out of here. Along with the weather being shitty all the time, too. You're like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah. What did you do growing up? I know eventually you were the football guy. Did you play baseball or no soccer because it was gay? Bora told me that.
Talking about, like, through my teenage years?
Yeah, or even younger.
Teenage years, I pretty much just whacked off. All the time. Probably a good 10 times.
How'd you get away with that with two older brothers? They knew what you were doing.
Yeah,
you
turned
into,
like,
a sport?
Yeah.
They just ignored you?
Yeah, I could have.
They just ignored you?
I think so.
They're
I don't know. They didn't care. They didn't want to hang out with me. They were
they're pretty significantly older. Yeah, what are the age gaps?
Let's see. Chris is 4 years older, and Mad Dog was about 6 years older.
When I say significant in life, that's nothing. But when you're growing up, you're in eighth grade, and Boar's a senior, and he doesn't want to hang out with you.
Right. Yeah, right. But yeah, I played a lot of sports. I did some boxing. I did some track. I did some of this, some of that. Baseball, I just never liked baseball that much. My brothers both played it. They were both pretty good at it.
Boar?
Boar
was out there slugging?
Yeah. You know, he would crouch way down. He had just had, like, a strike zone. It was like
big strike zone.
Because he's fucking short. And he would get on base. He'd get walked nearly every time. Every once in a while, he'd get a hit. And then my brother would get up and fucking hit a home run.
Yeah.
So... Wow. He'd always kind of knock him home. But when I, you know, at a young age, I kind of learned that, you know, you always try to find, you know, the best coaches and stuff. Just from watching my oldest brother, watching Mad Dog, I just kind of learned, like, you know, if you're going to try to do something, you may as well try to figure out the fastest way to do it the best way that you can. And it's not so much the effort from me. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm some sort of fucking savage when it comes to work ethic or anything like that. But I just think it's why not? Why not try to look for good coaching and good quality people? So, like, when I boxed with Kevin Rooney, who's the same guy that trained Tyson.
Was that local?
Yeah. It wasn't that local. It was in the Catskills. It was about 45 minutes.
And your mom drove your ass there every day?
My mom never went with us. It's just my pops.
Yeah, but your dad would drive you to boxing every day?
This is my dad.
Couple times a week?
Yeah, my dad went with me, and my grandpa actually came with me. My grandpa used to box. My grandfather was about 5 feet tall, if he was lucky. He was fucking short.
Yeah.
Maybe he was 5'1 or 5'2. I don't know. He was pretty short, though. But I was in the ring boxing. I was, like, sparring, and he doesn't give a fuck what anybody says, even though he's short. He doesn't fucking care. He's ready to, like, punch you in the fucking nose, you know?
Or the nuts, isn't
he? Yeah, a little scrappy fucker. And he's in the gym. He's smoking a cigar. And the guy in the rings, you know, because the guy in the rings getting a good workout, he was already jumping rope and doing a bunch of other stuff. He's breathing really hard, and he's like, somebody's smoking in here? Like, he couldn't believe it. Like, somebody's – and my grandfather holds up his cigar. He's like, yeah, that'd be me. He's like, need me to put it out? And then he just put the cigar out.
That's amazing.
He's like, or walked outside or whatever. And then, you know, he'd always kind of say things after the fact because he was short and small. He'd be like, I should have put that cigar out on that fucking guy's face. You know, he'd say something tough afterwards. And you're like, come on, you would never do that. I mean, he was scrappy, but not scrappy enough to, like, fight with, like, a pro boxer.
Not dangerous.
Like, did your dad, like, want you to box and want you to fight and want you to play football? Or is that your grandpa? Or is that just because Mad Dog and Boar did?
Just a lot of competition, a lot of, you know, my dad grew up in a family of like 9 kids, you know, I was explaining to somebody a few weeks ago, like, I never learned how to play baseball. I never really learned how to play football. I never learned how to, like, swing a bat or throw a ball or anything. I never really got, like, taught.
Is that because your dad wasn't into sports?
No. It's just that I never really got taught it because we just did it all the time. So, like, when I go to my grandmother's house with that many aunts and uncles and that many, they're all popping out fucking kids, too.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be a kid, you know, one kid would have a baseball bat. Another kid would have a football. Maybe a couple people were playing basketball. Maybe some kid out in the front yard's got a sledgehammer doing something extremely dangerous. There's no supervision from parents to anywhere to be found. Yeah. No one cares. And somehow no one ever got killed, you know. But
it's a different time.
Yeah, we just played. Like, we didn't really, you know. And as I got older, my dad would show me certain things. Oh, you want to pitch this way, or you want. He did some little league coaching and some different things like that. But he was just supportive of whatever it was that we were trying to do.
Right.
He would try to just make it better if he could, if we wanted him to intervene and help, if we needed to go to a camp of some kind or, you know, needed to buy weights or whatever. He'd always just try to figure out a way, you know, how do we make this better so you can get more involved in it. And hopefully if you get more involved in it, that it'll become something, you know.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's kind of what happened with the weights. That was kind of the we had a weight set from the time I was like 12, I think, but it wasn't like just some cheap, like plastic deal. It was, we had an Olympic bar. We had,
is that because of Mad Dog mostly, you think? I mean, he was in high school. He was pretty good at football. Yeah.
Yeah. It was mainly because of Chris though, because Mad Dog lifted. Mad Dog was just strong anyway. And he definitely got way, way into lifting as he got older. But Chris, had, bad knees. You know, Chris is like, he's severely like bow legged, you know? So his knees and his hips are all fucked up. And, he had surgery on both knees, and, you know, he was just still having pain after the surgeries, and he went to a doctor, and the doctor happened to be a powerlifter. This guy's jacked. And the guy was, again, you know, trying to find good coaches, trying to find good people. They went to several different people until they found this guy, and, you know, he started talking to us about powerlifting. He's like, yeah, you know, you should, if you get stronger, he's like, there'll be less pain there. And he's like, it's about making your body stronger and stuff like that. So that guy was kind of preaching that to us, you know, pretty early on. My dad, you know, within, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks after that conversation, he bought Olympic plates. You know, he bought, you know, a squat rack. He bought a bunch of stuff.
That's dumbbells. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we had everything.
Yeah,
crazy.
So you all just trained together?
No, because the age gap wasn't good. So
you were down there all alone.
I would be down there all alone, fucking cranking Rocky and jumping rope and shit like that. Yeah.
Is that about the time Rocky came out?
Well, he was.
Rocky came out when I was born. Yeah.
Okay, Rocky 5. Rocky
yeah, but
3.
Like, yeah, yeah, still, whatever, yeah, still something. Inspired by, yeah, the other Rockies. Yeah. Yeah, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. That
yeah,
kind
man,
of
I
shit.
Watched all the Rockies.
Yeah.
Just because. Fucking... But that's like the first time you see someone training.
They're fucking.
When's the
great.
Very first time you ever saw someone train? That's probably Rocky.
Oh yeah,
for a
yeah.
lot of people,
yeah.
probably so. Yeah,
I mean, there's
yeah.
not there's there wasn't YouTube. Even right. when I was growing up, there wasn't really YouTube.
Right.
No other movie really shows someone like working their ass off.
Yeah.
When he's in the barn doing fucking crunches off the top, fucking
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I went to some gyms too where people would get after it pretty good too. And then you know, as soon as I was ready to, I went to a few powerlifting meets early on and. Yeah. I saw people, you know, lifting big weights, and I wasn't like, I want to do that one day. I wasn't like, I don't know, it was just a progression. You know, it wasn't anything I like even sought out to do or thought would really.
You were exposed to it
yeah.
for long enough at the right time.
Well, I think powerlifting is not that type of sport.
Right.
You see Michael Jordan dunk from the free throw line, and everyone wants to do that. Even if you hate basketball, you're like, that's fucking sick. You know, I lifted for 10 years doing whatever kind of lifting.
Right.
And I never once like, yeah, I want to throw on a singlet and compete.
Right.
Right.
That's just not glorious.
I do remember though seeing Ted Arcidi. He was on. You know, I watched a lot of wrestling as a kid, and he was a pro wrestler, and he's just fucking jacked. And I was like, God damn, that guy's huge, you know. And then they showed this clip. You're like, oh, here's Ted Arcidi, one of the world's strongest men, bench pressing 705, and he gets down there and he fucking nails 705, and he like throws his fucking wrist wraps or something in the crowd. I was like, that's fucking sick. That's awesome. Like, that I was attracted to. I thought that was really cool. I was like, that's something I want to try. Because at that point, I was already lifting, and I had an idea of, like, where 700 is. I might have been lifting, like, 200 or something, or 250 or something. But, yeah, I mean, you know, all the wrestling and all that kind of stuff, and Rocky and those kind of movies, you know, as you guys have seen in Bigger, Stronger, Faster, had an impact on, you know, me getting my ass moving with some lifting.
Rocky had an impact on a lot of people. I remember because I was in band my freshman year of high school, and we played that Rocky theme all the fucking time. We played it at football games because our football team fucking sucked. And so, you know, they were an underdog. And so,
try to get people fired up.
Yeah.
Kind of credit Rocky with kind of inventing the hoodie. You know, he didn't really invent the hoodie necessarily.
Yeah, but he made it cool.
Yeah, he made it cool.
So you graduate high school, and then what? I know you were decent at football. Did you just move out to California and try to become a wrestler?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, talking about those years, you know, 18 to like 25 is where you don't do shit and try to figure out what to do. So I went to a junior college in Albany, New York, Hudson Valley Community College. Shout out. Anybody listen? Anybody?
Did Mel Gibson go there too?
Sounds quiet out there. and nothing became of that. I'm not smart enough to go to college. So then I... what the fuck else was I doing at the time?
What would you do? Like literally just go to class and go home and work out, or were you just
I was training. I was training. The fat guy that you guys see that comes to the Arnold every once in a while, Eddie Stumpf.
We see a lot of fat guys in our booth. I can't remember.
He's real red.
Yes.
Does that narrow it down at all? I know they're all red.
He's sweating, breathing
heavy.
I know
what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, he went to that same school and yeah, you know, I went there and then I was just trying to figure out what the fuck to do with myself. You know, I was strong. I remember doing 225 for 40 reps in our little combine thing that we did. I ran a 4.640.
Is this high school combine?
College. I'm at 19 or 20. You know, all this stuff is obviously pre-drug. Well, not obviously, but pre-steroids, you know, for all you fucking haters out there. But, you know, I just shifted around and tried to figure out what the hell to do with myself. I had a bouncing job. And I kind of always knew, like, you know, Poughkeepsie's not for me. You know, I didn't always know that. I knew that as I got older. You know, a bouncing job is not something I want to continue. I've always wanted to have no job. That was always the goal. I even used to tell my brother, my goal is to never have a job. And if I do have a job, my goal is to always show up late so they don't have high expectations of me, to barely slide by, barely get the paycheck, you know? My brother's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, I can't believe that fucking worked for you, son of a bitch. Then I moved to I came out to visit my brother. He was filming a movie called Billy Jones, which was for school.
Yeah.
He went to USC Film School with George Lucas, I might add. He didn't go there with him, but George Lucas is from there. You know, when I came out to California, I was like, fuck, man, this is amazing. I was in California for like a week, and I was like, it hasn't rained once. My brother's like, it never rained. He's like, it literally, he's like, I lived here for like 3 years. He's like, it hasn't rained once. He's like, if it does rain, it's like in the middle of the night or something. He's like, I don't know anything about it. He's like, it never rains.
Invisible rain.
Yeah. And so when I went back to New York for a little bit, and I was like, you know, just remember the weather being shitty and all that stuff. I was like, I gotta figure out a way to, you know, make ends meet so I can fucking go out to California again. And I remember kind of counting down the days. There was like 20 days left, and it rained every day before I left. I was like, this is the fucking saddest fucking last 20 days ever.
It's a sign.
Yeah. Yeah, then I came out to California. I went to Santa Monica City College. Shout out to there. Some people should know that one.
Ocho Cinco,
yeah. I played football with Steve Smith and Ocho Cinco. Chad Smith. There you go. No, Chad.
Wasn't it Chad? Wait. Chad Smith's the drummer.
Steve Smith and Chad. What's his
Johnson.
Last name? Chad Johnson. There
Chad
you go.
Smith is like a.
Smith and Johnson.
I think Chad Smith's a part of Red Hot Chili Peppers or something.
Shout out to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They need our support.
Yeah, yeah. Please donate a dollar to the PowerCast.
Yeah, those poor broke bastards.
50 cents will go to them. Yeah, so I played football there, and, you know, again, just wasn't working out. I was trying to figure out what the fuck to do with myself. I was training at Gold's Gym with my brother. I met, like, you know, a lot of the same people that we see all the time at the shows.
Yeah.
I think, Mike, when you first started working with me, I was kind of telling you, like, hey, he was like, watch how this all goes in a big, giant fucking circle.
Jerk.
Big, giant circle jerk.
Yeah.
For a long period of time.
Is that when you met, like, guys like O'Hearn and Charles Glass and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've known them forever, you know? So now people talk about, oh, you know this guy or that guy. It's like.
And you were what at the time, 23?
Forever.
24?
Yeah, 23, yeah.
And then you were just working out with O'Hearn, who was on, was he on American Gladiator at that time?
It was post, I think.
It was just afterwards?
Well, so he did.
He did like two of them.
Yeah.
He was the only guy to do two.
Yeah.
Goddamn, O'Hearn.
Yeah, he did American Gladiator, and this was post that, but not too far past that.
And then he had like whatever, another one in like 6 years.
Yeah.
Oh, American Gladiator is a great idea. Like, that's not scripted, right? That's just people going at it.
Right.
People talk shit on O'Hearn because they think he's an Instagram celebrity. Right.
But he's been at it for a long time.
Mark said not only was he good at football, but he was obviously a bodybuilder, good power lifter, and he did like some kind of martial arts, right? I mean,
He's super strong. I mean, I'd bet money that he would beat, 95% of the people out there, and just about any lift you can figure out. I mean, obviously, head to head against Eric Lillibridge in a squat, he's going to lose.
Right.
Certain movements like that. But I mean, you take
like a skull crusher.
Yeah,
or
lat pull down, or pull ups for reps. Or I mean, he's a savage. I mean, he's a really good athlete.
Looking back at American Gladiator, I watched like both versions a little bit, and like they're
what was
athletes.
The second thing called? What was that called?
I think it was American Gladiator.
Yeah.
And who was it? Layla Ali was the announcer. Somebody like that.
Oh yeah, in the second version.
No, Battle Dome.
Oh, he was in that
Battle
too.
Dome too. Yeah,
but I think that. But there was another American Gladiator.
Was that in between?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I never watched that. American Gladiators?
Yeah, there was two.
One was probably within the last.
Was
10
he
years.
Titan in which one?
I think he was Titan in both.
He was Titan in both American Gladiators. Because I remember when Battle Dome was coming out, Cena was starting to wrestle. I met Cena in Southern California.
About what age?
At Mass Movement, probably 23.
And this is John Cena, the world champ.
John Cena.
And you guys work together or some bullshit?
Yeah, at Mass Movement, we had a shitty job moving fitness equipment. And, it was a brutal job lifting all those fucking heavy machines and shit and in and out of gyms and all that stuff. But, that's where I met him and I got to know him, long ago. I was wrestling at the time. But I remember Battle Dome was coming up. People kept talking about Battle Dome. At Gold's Gym, people start talking about, you hear people talk about casting calls all the time.
Yeah, the next movie coming out.
Like, oh, Terminator, whatever is coming out. You hear it all the time because all these guys, all these same guys are going to the same audition.
Yeah, just a bunch of meatheads.
Just as like Tate and Jardine talked about.
Yeah.
And Cena, tells me, hey, man, he's like, I got this contract from Battle Dome. He's like, they want to give me like six figures. And it was some amount like that, me and my brother were like, holy shit. And he was broke, Cena was broke. He was fucking living off expired protein at the time and free pizza from winning pizza challenges left and right. He's had this contract and my brother and I were like, and especially Mad Dog, we were like, dude, no, don't, like, he was already wrestling at the time. Like, we don't think it's a good idea. Like, it was like, 90 grand or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but this show is going to come and go. Wrestling has been around forever. Vince McMahon is not going anywhere. His bank account is not going anywhere. Yeah. So you should keep going with that, And it took John, only a couple months to get a contract, probably 6 or 7 months to get a contract. He worked very hard for it, but, with his personality and the way he's built and stuff, it was
with those pecs. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. He's been hitting a lot of pec deck.
Giant noggin, made for TV.
Yep. And so I was just a scrub, kind of hanging out in Gold's Gym training. But my dad, put it very simply to me the other day. He said, while some people were, waking up and getting in the shower and washing their hair and thinking about, what they're going to grab for breakfast on their way out the door, he's like, you were thinking about getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and that's how the slingshot was invented. He's like, because you were constantly thinking about it all the time. And so whether I was playing football or boxing or struggling in school or whatever the fuck it was that I was doing, I was always thinking about, you know, how do I get stronger? How do I get better? How do I advance myself? That kind of stuff. Hey, now.
And fast forward 20 years.
And here I am.
And now you're just taking shits every day.
And now I'm just fat, clogging up fucking toilets left and right.
So if it hadn't been the slingshot, if the slingshot hadn't been a hit, then what?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. But yeah. I remember through the process of Bigger, Stronger, Faster being made that there was, you know, you guys went through some soul searching about how involved you wanted to be,
yeah.
And what it was going to take for that to happen.
Yeah.
And whatever. And like, I think that nobody ever makes any money on back end points on any movie ever.
Right.
But like the slingshot kind of turned out to be your back end points.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Cause it gave me, at least some notoriety.
Right.
You know, and then that kind of launched into some of this stuff that we've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything is swirling around and making everything grow, you know.
I don't think we would have put, I mean, obviously I was shooting stuff before I ever met your brother, before mm-hmm. Bigger, Stronger, right. Faster was ever a movie or whatever. But I think that we were more diligent about it because...
Yeah,
the profile was coming up. You know, profile was raising for
right
for you, for us, the gym, for you know,
right. Yeah, and you know, it's always been about figuring out ways to try to make things the best. And now that I got some money, it makes things that much easier.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's not part of the conversation or part of the worry anymore.
Right.
You know, whereas before it's like, well, we can't really do that yet. We got to wait or whatever.
Yeah, now you just have white people problems.
Yeah. I'll just make Silent Mike do it.
Exactly.
Or I punch him in the stomach.
I'm out of here. I'm going to go deadlift.
I know. I'm getting warm. I'm sitting here in my jacket. You got cold. I got hot.
It got warmer in here.
I made you hot?
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Drink another Monster and go deadlift.
I think I got chills because I need to pee.
Yeah, I got a pee bad too.
All right, I guess that's it, right?
That sounds like a good place to stop for me.
I think people are listening and they're like, we were tired. We don't want to listen anymore.
You're wrong. People aren't listening.
Oh. You don't think so?
Not a single one.
When you guys interviewed me, was that the
problem?
Yeah,
they signed off. That's
back.
Kind of... and a smelly story. Beep. Off.
All right, anyway. If anybody wants any more stuff from any of us on any of those interviews, let us know. Let us know if you're interested in a little bit more of that babble jargon. Jim lost the script, so that's why we went with the interview process.
Yep.
I don't know what is going on with Jim,
Sorry.
Or why he continues to lose the script every single show.
Who writes the script?
I don't know. I thought you did.
No, I mean, we always talk about who has it. I know.
Well, it's supposed to come to me, but
yeah,
it doesn't
come
from me.
Wait, hold on. Maybe we're onto something here. Maybe it's never getting written.
So I'm looking
maybe
at the root of our problems. We need to hire a writer.
Oh, my God.
Didn't Chris Bell used to write scripts for the WWE?
He did.
Maybe.
WWE scripted?
What?
Oh, my
cat
God.
Cat is out of the bag and
Chris
taking
Bell
a shit in the corner.
Chris Bell is a fake.
Yeah. What a phony.
I bet this documentary's fake,
too. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Hey, yeah. God damn. All right, we're out of here. Multiply your hustle. Multiply your muscle. I'm at Mark Smellybell on Instagram and the Twitters. And may all your shits be tapered.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 Ks on Instagram and Twitter. And stay cheap, my friends.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I want you to find me, which is Instagram and Twitter, and people find my Facebook all the time, too. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Twitter at SGMSAC, Facebook.com/SuperTrainingJim, SuperTraining.tv website, YouTube.com/SuperTraining06, and SuperTrainingTV. Also, go on iTunes, whether you listen to us on iTunes or not. And leave us a rating or review, please. It's literally the least you can do. Thanks.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products and howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.